జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ విహారీ 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 జయ గోపీ జన వల్ల జయ గిరివర ధారీ జయ గిరివర ధారీ జయ గోపీ జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ విహారీ జయ రాధా Thank you. Hare 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 Ram 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 Thank you.
శ్రీ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిలా ప్రవిష్టం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనంతగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి, ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధా గుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి, మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి, మధురపురి ధామ్ కి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి, గంగమాయికి, యమునమాయికి, తులసీదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimra Bhakti Vidanda Swami Vidami Namaste Sarasya Devam Gauravani Prajarini Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Pashati Vesha Dharini. Keep the volume.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ్య గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాల్. శ్రీమల్ భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవాం. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యత ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వ పాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరతశ్చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదికవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయాం. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మం ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవం అత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమల్ భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదే త్రగృదిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాల్. నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృత ద్రవ సంయుతం పిపదా భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుగాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాది హేతవే తామత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమాం. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుపేదం అపేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయతయ తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం. సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం.
నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయేల్. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొణిదాదృదానందో మమ వాచి విజృంభద మురారే మధురీం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపి. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూగలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశకారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశాం యాసాం హరికథోద్గీతం పునాతీ భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్ర శంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. సో వి హావ్ కమ్ టు ది లాస్ట్ క్యాంటో ఆఫ్ రామాయణం విచ్ వి వాంట్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ టుడే, నేమ్లీ ది ఉత్తరాఖండం. ఉత్తరాఖండం ఈస్ ది పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్టర్ రామచంద్ర కేమ్ బ్యాక్ టు ది లార్డ్ కేమ్ బ్యాక్ టు అయోధ్య అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ హిస్ ఇన్స్టలేషన్ ఆస్ ద కింగ్ ఆఫ్ అయోధ్య అండ్ ద టైమ్ ఫ్రమ్ దెన్ ఆన్ టిల్ ది డిపార్చర్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ ప్లానెట్ బ్యాక్ టు ది వైకుంఠ లోక. సో ఉత్తర రామాయణం యాజ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ఈస్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు రీడ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది డిస్ట్రెస్ దట్ ఈస్ డెవలప్డ్ ఇన్ ది ఉత్తర రామాయణం థ్రూ అవుట్, పర్టికులర్లీ రామచంద్రస్ sending Siradevi to the forest when she was pregnant, Ramachandra's different instructions to different associates who came here from the spiritual world to assist Ramachandra in his pastimes, and later on Ramachandra's own abandoning his brother Lakshmana, and above all that when Ramachandra is returning back to the spiritual world. For devotees of Lord Ramachandra, many of these things are little bit painful in their heart, and therefore sometimes it's mentioned that Uttara Ramayanam is nothing but tears. Only a devotee can read Uttara Ramayanam. Only those who have that feeling for Ramachandra and the Ramayanam will find it very, very hard to read through Uttara Ramayanam. But still some of the mellows in Uttara Ramayanam, especially Sita Devi's, Ramachandra's and Lakshmana's, what they have expressed in Uttara Ramayanam is very interesting. And therefore when Ramayanam came to Shrimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami Sri Shukan made it like this: the whole of Ramayanam in one chapter and Uttara Ramayanam in another chapter. You will notice there are two chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam referring to Ramayanam, and out of that one chapter is up to the point where Ramchandra came back to Ayodhya after killing Ravana. And the next chapter is that chapter relating to Uttara Ramayanam or the pastimes after coming back to Ayodhya. So we read the first chapter before, but I must read the second chapter also, because that chapter specifically is important, because Sudeva Goswami has made so much inroads into the mood of Ramachandra at that time. And normally to get a certificate from Sudeva Goswami is not so easy, because of the personality, such a strong brahmachari and a realized soul, that when he spoke things, he spoke very openly and very straightforward, without any mixing the words. So that is why this chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam is very specific. And some of the things he mentions at the end of that chapter is particularly significant from the viewpoint that a devotee who trying to understand Krishna, who trying to develop a relationship with Krishna, they should know what that relationship means between a devotee and Ramachandra is. And Ramachandra and Krishna were non-different from Krishna. In fact, strictly speaking, out of the many, many incarnations of Krishna, this Ramachandra's incarnation is very special for one reason, that many authorities on Ramayanam says there is no other incarnation where the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been so serious. You can see that in the Ramayanam, that it is not a time, there was no time when Ramachandra has really smiled. Most of the time he spoke with so much gravity, instructions to Lakshmana, instructions to the sages, and throughout all the time when he traveled, even while instructing the demons, he showed such a gravity that anyone who reads Ramayanam experiences that seriousness in Ramchandra's dealings with the devotees. So therefore, because Ramchandra has been so serious, that anyone who wants to understand spiritual life and that strict adherence to the religious principles in Ramchandra's life and truthfulness, and particularly even under adverse conditions, when the circumstances were not favorable, Lord Ramchandra still stuck to the principles. This is what makes that personality so great. As far as Krishna was concerned, there was no problem, because Krishna saw the situation and acted. They did not show any consideration for principles or anything else. There is no other incarnation like Krishna where he has shown that courage in making decisions and in dealing with all kinds of people. But Ramachandra was totally different. He stuck to the religious principles. And from Ramachandra one can see that how much the great sages admired Ramachandra for his convictions and strict adherence to religious principles. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami has specifically pinpointed these particular features of Ramachandra, and also wanted to say that this incarnation of the Supreme Lord Krishna as Ramachandra teaches us that even in difficult conditions, one should always stick to the religious principles. Even though it may appear that things in this world are not looking good for us, and our natural tendency is always to bypass religious principles and take to the easy process, Ramachandra did not do that. He could have changed the scene very much, but he did not act in that way. Who mentions this? This was mentioned by Markandeya Rishi when he spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj was going through a very, very hard time in his life. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he spoke about this, Markandeya Maharshi told Yudhishthira, King Yudhishthira, that like you, there was another king who went through a lot of difficulties. But that king never gave up religious principles, always stuck to truthfulness and religiosity all through his life. And these words of Markandeya Rishi inspired Yudhishthira Maharaja so much that he loved to hear the story of Ramachandra from Markandeya. So this is history behind Ramayanam. But whatever it is, still what you have to remember is that Ramachandra's strict principles not deviating from the principles laid out by the great sages. And the inspiration he has given to the sages in spiritual path, all these are very strong principles. What one, when one feels threatened by the material world, worthwhile looking at. So here you will notice that this Ramachandra in the Ramayanam, if you read, there is only one instance, apparently Ramachandra has smiled a little bit. And that too, Valmiki had put it in such a way that Ramachandra's specific situation, this is when Shurpanaka came to see Ramachandra. When Shurpanaka came to see Ramachandra, apparently Ramachandra felt it's seeing Shurpanaka's enthusiasm to marry Ramachandra and seeing Shurpanaka's specific nature, Ramachandra started smiling. And apparently Valmiki Maharshi in Ramayanam also mentions that in one verse he wanted to mention about Ramachandra and Shurpanaka. Shurpanaka's beauty is mentioned in the Ramayanam in two lines. Valmiki did not forget that. And in the next two lines, Valmiki mentioned about the beauty of Lord Ramachandra also. So in the same verse, two contradicting nature. One, that of Shurpanaka, how ugly she looked. And in the other two lines, the beauty of Lord Ramachandra. That is how in Ramayanam, that particular verse is brought about. So, as you remember, that Traidayugam was a time when people lived a very, very, very long time. We cannot imagine that the age difference between us and them is so high. Then when Valmiki mentions like this at one instance, that one day Dasharatha Maharaj, while sleeping at night, he saw a dream. And in the dream, he felt that he has gone old and he has to die. These feelings came to him in his dream. So next day morning when he woke up, he took the mirror and had a look at the mirror. So he saw that one of his hair has started going gray. And do you know how old he was? He was 50,000 years old at that time. And one hair has started going gray. So Dasharatha Maharaj, it was then that he started thinking about handing over the kingdom to his son, to Lord Ramachandra, and installing him as the king. This was the days of Traidayugam, that they had such a long span of life, and particularly the time was such that people enjoyed tremendous. In fact, as far as the happiness and gratification is concerned, Traidayugam had higher than Kritayugam. Because in Traidayugam, people have not had that kind of discipline as in the Satyayugam, where they have performed severe austerities and penances to advance on the spiritual path. Whereas Traidayugam was little different in that sense. So people in Traidayugam were more enjoying life than even in the Kritayugam or the Satyayugam before. So there you can see that Ramachandra, later on when he comes in as the king, we will see at that time also Ramarajyam, or his time, is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So before I go through that in detail, discussing about this Uttarakhandam, I should just read that verses in the Bhagavatam and then we will discuss that. Ekadashodhyaya, that is the ninth canto, chapter 11. Shri Shuka Uvacham Bhagavan Atmanatmanam Rama Uttama Kalpagai Sarva Devamayam Devam Vijamajarya Vanmagai Hotre Dadadisham Prajim Brahmane Bhakdakshinam Prabhu Advaryave Pradijim Cha Udijim Samagayasam Acharyaya Dadau Shesham Yavadi Bhustadandaraha Manyamanamidam Kralsnam Brahmanor Harinispraham Ityayam Tadalangara Vasobhyam Avasheshida Tadha Rajya Vivaidehi Saumangalya Avasheshidam Tetu Brahmanya Devasya Valsalyam Vikshasam Sudam ప్రీదా క్లిన్నధియాస్తస్మై ప్రత్యర్పేదం భభాషిరేం అప్రత్తన్న స్వయా కిం న భగవన్ భువనేశ్వరాం యన్నోందర్హృదయం వింశ్య తమోహంసి స్వరోచిషాం నమో బ్రాహ్మణ్యదేవాయ రామాయ గుండమేధసే ఉత్తమ శ్లోకదుర్యాయ న్యస్తదండార్పితాంఘయే కదా జిల్లోక జిజ్ఞాసుర్గూఢో రాత్ర్యామలక్షిత చరణ్వాజో శృణో ద్రామో వాణ్యాముద్దేశ్య కస్యచిల్ నాహం విమర్మి త్వాం దృష్టాం అసదీం పరవేష్మగం స్త్రీలోభి బిభయాల్ సీతాం రామో నాహం భజే పునాం ఇది లోకాల్ బహుముఖాల్ దురారాధ్యాల సంవిదాః పత్యాభిదేన సాత్యక్త్వా ప్రాప్తా ప్రజేదసాశ్రమం అందర్వత్యాగదే కాలే యమౌ సా సుషువే సుతౌ కుశోలమమిది ఖ్యాతౌ తయోశ్చక్రే క్రియామునిః అంగదశ్చిత్రగేదుశ్చా లక్ష్మణస్యాత్మజౌ స్మృతౌ తక్ష పుష్కలమిత్యాస్తం భరతస్య మహీపదే సుబాహూ శ్రుతసేనశ్చ శత్రుఘ్నస్య బభూవతు గంధర్వాన్ కోటిశో జగ్నే భరతో విజయే దిశాం తదీయం ధనమానీయ సర్వం రాజ్ఞే నివేదయల్ శత్రుఘ్నశ్చ మధో పుత్రం లవణం మామ రాక్షసం హత్వా మధువనే చక్రే మధురాం నామ వైపురీం మునౌ నిక్షిప్యదనయౌ సీతా భర్త్రా వివాసిత ధ్యాయంతి రామచరణౌ వివరం ప్రవివేశః తచ్చుత్వా భగవాన్ రామో రుంధం నభిధియాశుచ స్మరంస్తస్య గుణాంస్తాస్తాన్ ఆశక్నో ద్రోగ్ధుమీశ్వరాః స్త్రీపుం ప్రసంగమే దాద్రక్ సర్వత్ర త్రాసమావహ అభీశ్వరాణాం కిముద గ్రామ్యస్య గృహచేతస తదమూర్ధ్వం బ్రహ్మచర్యం ధారయన్న జుహోల్ ప్రభు త్రయోదశాబ్దా సాహస్రం అగ్నిహోత్రమఖండినం స్మరణం హృది విన్యస్య విద్ధం దండగ గండగై సుపాదపల్లవం రామ ఆల్మా జ్యోతిరగాల్ తదా నేదం యదో యశో రఘుపదే సురయాజ్ఞయా తద్ లీలాతనురధిక సామ్య విముక్త ధామ్నాః రక్షోవధో జలది బంధనమస్త్రభోగై కిం తస్య శత్రుహననే కపయా సహాయాః యస్యామలం నృపసదస్సు యశోధునాభి గాయంది అగ్నమృషయో దిగివేంద్రభట్టం తం నాగపాల వసుపాల కిరీరజుష్టం పాదాంబుజం రఘుపతిం శరణం ప్రపద్యే సయై స్పృష్టో విదృష్టో వా సంవిష్టో నిగదోపి వా కోసలాస్తేయుస్థానం యత్ర గచ్చంది యోగినాం పురుషో రామచరితం శ్రవణైరుపధారయన్ ఆనశంస్య పరో రాజన్ కర్మబంధైర్విముచ్యతే శ్రీరాజోవాచ కథం స భగవాన్ రామో భ్రాతృన్వా స్వయమాత్మన తస్మిన్ మాదేన్య వర్తంత ప్రజా పౌరాంశ్చైశ్వరా ఈశ్వరే శ్రీశుకౌవాచ తదాదిశద్విజే భ్రాతం త్రిభువనేశ్వర ఆత్మానం దర్శయన్ స్వానాం పురీమైక్షదసానుగాం ఆసిక్తమార్గాం గంధోదై కరిణాం మదశీకరై స్వామినం ప్రాప్తమాలోక్య మత్తాం వాసుదరామివాం ప్రాసాద గోపుర సభ చైత్యదేవ గృహాదిషు విన్యస్త హేమకలశై పతాకాభిశ్చ మండితాః పూగై సవృందైరంభావి పటిగాభిసువాససాం ఆదర్శైరంశుగై సద్భి కృత కౌతుకతోరణం తముభేయుస్తత్ర తత్ర వౌరామర్హణమాణయ అశిషో యైజుర్దేవా పాహి మాం ప్రాక్ త్వయోద్ధృతాం తద ప్రజావీక్షమదిం చిరాగదిం దిదృక్షయో సృష్టగృహా స్త్రియో నరాః ఆరుహ్య హర్మ్యాన్ అరవిందలోచనం అదృప్తనేత్రా కుసుమైరవాగిరన్ అథ ప్రవిష్ట సుగృహం జుష్టం సై పూర్వరాజవి అనంధాఖిలకోశాఢ్యం అనర్ఘ్యోరుపరిచ్ఛదం విద్రుమోదుంబరద్వారైర్ గురూర్య స్తంభవంక్తిభి సలైర్మారగదై స్వచ్చైర్వాదస్ఫటిక పిథివీ చిత్రస్రగ్విమట్టిగాభిర్వాసోమణిగనాంశుగై ముక్తాఫలైశ్చిదుల్లాసై కాందకామోపపత్తిభి ధూవదీపైసురభిర్మండితం పుష్పమండలి స్త్రీపుంభిసురసంగాశేర్జ్యష్టం భూషణభూషణైః తస్మిన్ స భగవాన్ రామ స్నిగ్ధయా ప్రియయేష్టయా రేమే స్వరామధీరాం షభయస్సిదయా కిలాం పుపుజే జయథాకాలం కామాన్ ధర్మమీడయన్ వర్షభోగాన్ బహూన్ నృణాం అభిధ్యాతాంగ్రిపల్లవా ఇది శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాప్రాణే
Namaskande, Sri Rama Vakyane, Egashodhyaya, Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam, Govinda Govinda.
So, that is Uttara Ramayana. So, after we, Ramachandra returned back to Ayodhya, the Ramachandra was installed as the king of Ayodhya, and from then on, in Ramayanam, is the sages coming to visit him. So many great personalities, they arrived to see Lord Ramachandra. The sages names are listed: Vishwamitra, Asida, Kanwa, Bhrigu, and so many great personalities all came together. Along with them also came Agastya. Agastya was with all his disciples. They came together. So they came to see Ramachandra, and Ramachandra wanted to know from Agastya that who are this Ramana and who are this Kumbhakarna. All these things Ramachandra is asking to Agastya Maharshi, because Agastya Maharshi was the senior most member in that among the sages. It was Agastya's response to Ramachandra in this instance is the history of Ravana and all the Rakshasa race. Their origin is described in the Ramayanam at that point. This was a casual visit from all the sages to the palace. And in the palace, Ramachandra was there with Sita Devi, Lakshmana, and all the other associates who fought the war with Ravana. So Ramachandra, out of courtesy to the sages, wanted to hear from the sages. Sages thanked Ramachandra for killing all the Rakshasas, because that was their main difficulty. That these Rakshasas were causing so much problem for them, for the sages in performing their spiritual practices in the forest. So now that Ramachandra has come back after killing Ravana and so many other Rakshasas who were causing a lot of problems, that now they were very pleased by the service given by Ramachandra. And they wanted to thank Ramachandra for behalf of all the sages. That is how they all arrived in the palace. So when they arrived during the conversation, Ramachandra asked them who are these Ravana and Kumbhakarna and others, and their history, Agastya Maharshi is giving to Ramachandra, and that is how the Uttarakhandam begins. So there, Agastya Maharshi said that in the Pulastya was the sage from whom the Rakshasa races began. Pulastya. Pulastya was a great sage, and this Pulastya had performed severe austerities and penances in the Meru Mountains, and there it happened to be that he was performing these penances in the ashram of another great sage called Trinabindu. Trinabindu was a friendly sage who allowed Pulastya to live there in his ashram. And they performed like this austerities and penances that goes on for long, long period of time in the case of these sages. And that's what they were doing. So you can see there, then Pulastya was going on. And at that time, some demigods on the heavenly planets, they send the beautiful women from there to dance and sing in front of Pulastya. Because this is normal. When you want to take to spiritual life, immediately there will be problems, some way or the other. Even if you are a sage, this is what you have to deal with. So Pulastya had to face this. And eventually, Pulastya told every one of them, he made a general instructions to them. Anyone, if I see them in front of me, they will get pregnant straight away. This is how he gave the warning to them. As they got frightened, because these women in the heavenly planets, they want to enjoy life, and they are not looking for a comfortable family life situated with children. They are used to such a high standard of material enjoyment in the heavenly planets. They got frightened by hearing Pulastya's instructions, and they left the scene and went away from there. They never came back after that. But Trinabindu's daughter, who didn't know anything about this, what was happening, she did not think about any of these things, and she started walking in front of Pulastya, who was performing meditations. He was in his tapas, he was performing penances. And when he, and naturally, this has applied to Trinabindu's daughter also. So she got pregnant at that time. And because a sage's words cannot go wrong. So it was then that Trinabindu came to know what has happened. And Trinabindu decided to marry her to Pulastya at the end. So Pulastya married Trinabindu's daughter, and he continued his spiritual activities. And from that relationship with Tanabindu's daughter, Pulastya had a son born from that, who was known as Vishravas. So Vishravas was born from that relationship, and Vishravas was also a very intelligent person and very well-known person, and also great personality as a saintly nature as well. So this Vishravas had performed penances, and one day Bharadvaja Muni, who was a disciple of Valmiki Maharshi, found out about Vishravas, and he wanted to marry his daughter to Vishravas. And that he saw, Bharadvaja's daughter was married to Vishravas, and from that relationship, another great personality came about. His name is Vaishravana. He is also referred to as Kubera. In other words, this Vaishravana, he became so wealthy because that is what he wanted. He wanted to be very, very wealthy in the three worlds. So Vaishravana is considered to be the wealthiest person, who is also referred to as Kubera. That was Vishrava's son. But later on, they had to find a place to live. And by now, Lanka, which was occupied by the Rakshasas race, they have left Lanka and gone away from there. Because in Lanka, they had a problem because of the... they were frightened of Lord Vishnu and they escaped from Lanka, although they had very good material facilities in Lanka. So Vishravas decided to go there, and Kubera was also there quite some time. It was then that a Rakshasa by name Sumali came there, and Sumali had a daughter by name Kaikasi. So this Kaikasi was not married, and Sumali wanted to find a husband for her. And one day he told Kaikasi that so far no one has asked for you in marriage. So maybe you should ask that sage who is performing penances. He seems to be a very nice person, and you should approach him with praja desiring for having children. So Kaikasi approached Vishravas. Vishravas saw the situation and decided to marry her. Vishravas was a Brahmana, Kaikasi was a Rakshasi. So from that relationship between Vishravas and Kaikasi, four children were born. But Vishravas knew that the time when Kaikasi approached him for this marital relationship was not appropriate. Therefore, the first two children who are born will be very powerful, but at the same time, they will be highly demoniac. This was Vishravas' words to Kaikasi. And accordingly, you could see that later on, the first child born was Ravana, and the second one was Kumbhakarna. Third one, they had a daughter, which was Shurpanaga. And the fourth one who came about was a great devotee. You can see, so there is no restrictions that a devotee can take birth anywhere, under any conditions. To become a devotee, nothing is barring him or barring her in becoming a devotee. This is the universal law. That as far as Krishna is concerned, a devotee can be born in a demonic family and still become a strong devotee. And this classical example of Vibhishana is for given in response to that. That Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Shurpanaga and Vibhishana, four children were born from that, and Vibhishana was a great devotee of Ramachandra. So it so happened. So it is then that all these things were spoken to Ramachandra. Agastya Muni said to Ramachandra, I think I'm talking about things which you already know. But still, for the knowledge of everyone else, I'm just repeating it, what you have, what is already in your knowledge. And that is how Agastya Maharshi keep talking about this whole history. And then he also mentioned there that how Ravana started terrorizing the world. If you look at Ravana's activities and Hiranyakashipu's activities, there is not much different. They are more or less the same. The way they take upon everything, and that kind of aggression in them to take over the whole. Today, most such people are satisfied with this planet. At least if this planet can be brought under their control, modern day demons are satisfied, because they can't do anything more than that. But in the case of Ravana, he wasn't satisfied just with one planet. Planet is nothing for him. He wanted all the three worlds under his control. This is how Ravana was. Right up to Brahma, it was becoming a threat for him from Ravana. So, Loka Ravana, Ravana, Ravana's position is like that. That he made everyone cry. That is how powerful he was. So, this Ravana, in that process, went to heavenly planets and started fighting with Indra. Many times he won the wars, many times he lost also. But what's significant about this heavenly planet was, when he went to fight with Indra, he lost the war and he was made a prisoner there. So when he became a prisoner, his son goes there, Meghanad, that was his name, who was later on called Indrajit. Meghanad goes there and he was so powerful that he managed to release Ravana from the control of the demigods. Not only that, he managed to tie Indra down and bring him to Lanka as a prisoner. So this is the reason why Agastya Muni said to Ramachandra that the greatest victory you had in this war was killing Indrajit, because he was more difficult than Ravana to kill. He was such a powerful person that he was so expert in fighting that he said Lakshmana had all the glories of killing this Indrajit, and Indrajit was such a powerful personality during the war. So Ramchandra was listening to all this story from Agastya Muni, and he also mentioned that how Ravana and Kumbhakarna performed penances, thousands of years of penances. Why these penances so powerful? Because through these penances they acquire the strength. Austerities and penances are meant for that. Basically, you can see that in spiritual life also, austerities and penances are a part of spiritual life. You cannot separate that out from spiritual life, because what is this austerities and penances done for obtaining Krishna is tapasa. Tapasa means tapatava, like Krishna instructed Brahma in the beginning of the creation. Two letters from the alphabet were spoken, ta and pa. So twice it was repeated, tapatava. Tapa means to burn oneself, burn through austerities and penances. So you can see from the very beginning of the creation itself, these instructions are there that to perform austerities and penances. And that was the process by which one acquired strength in this material world and to advance on the spiritual path also. So that is what Hiranyakashipu has done. That is what Ravana has also done. Thousands and thousands of years of penances, he became very, very powerful. But we must not misunderstand that these penances and austerities, only when it is done for Krishna's sake, it becomes tapasya. If it is done for one's own happiness in this world, it is called prarabdham. It is his karma that is controlling him at that time. That is not tapasya. Tapasya is only when it is done for obtaining Krishna. That is the difference between prarabdham and tapasya. Tapasya is that which one performs austerities and penances to obtain Krishna, to advance on the spiritual life, to go back closer to Krishna, to go back home to Godhead. That is tapasya. So here you will see there that Ravana did so many things at that time, and Kumbhakarna was not much different, also practiced these austerities and penances, and Vibhishana also did the same thing. So they all did the same thing, and it is then that you will find in Ramayana, after that these Rakshasas have started fighting and started establishing their own kingdoms everywhere. In different planets, they had their influences established. So after this, you will find in the Ramayana that Bali and Sugriva, their origins are also discussed there. In the meanwhile, that who is this Bali, who is Sugriva, their origin, where they came from, these are also mentioned there in the Uttara Ramayana. So there it is, the story is this: Brahmadeva, Lord Brahma, once it so happened that from his eyes tears have fallen down. He was in some ecstatic mood in his relationship with Krishna. That from that ecstasy, tears fell down and they took the form of a vanara. Vanara race came from there. And this vanara, he was moving around, and suddenly one day he looked in a lake and he saw his own image in the lake. And when he saw his image, he wanted to catch him straight away. Not knowing the image, he jumped into the lake. And that beautiful lake mentions there that as soon as he jumped into the lake, when he came out, he has got a beautiful form of a woman's body. Beautiful woman's form he has taken. And Kriksharaja, as he was called, that he took this form of body, it was then that Indra saw her, and as soon as Indra saw her, his mind got disturbed, and from that relationship, Vali was born. So after Indra had this, Vali was born, Indra left her and went away. And then Sun, the demigod, or the predominating deity in the Sun planet, he came over, he saw her, and he also had a relationship with her. From that relationship, Sugriva was born. So Bali and Sugriva were born from that female form of that Vanara. As soon as Sugriva was born, afterwards, she got back her original form as Vanara, as Kriksharaja, as it is called. So this Bali and Sugriva were instructed to come and establish their kingdom in Kishkinda, and they became responsible for the whole Vanara race in the creation. That is how they became so powerful. Their glories are mentioned in the Bhagavatam at different locations, Bali and Sugriva. So it was then that the Ravana had a discussion with, went to see a great sage called Sanat Kumara. He is one of the four Kumaras, and inquired from Sanat Kumara, who is the most powerful person to fight with. Look at Ravana's nature. From the very beginning he wanted to fight with somebody, and he didn't want to fight with ordinary living entities. He wants someone who is very, very powerful. Sanat Kumara Maharshi told him that he will get an opportunity to fight, but he has to wait some time, he said to him. He said to Ravana that you have to wait some time, but it will come to you. You have all my blessings. That will happen to you, he said. So after this incident, Ravana was waiting. And as we heard, that Ravana got involved with this war against by stealing Sita Devi, all these things, and eventually Ramchandra killed Ravana and brought Sita Devi back. So in the palace, Agastya Maharshi and all the great sages, they thanked Ramachandra, paid their obeisances, and then they left the palace. Ramachandra, from some then on, for quite a long period, administered this world. And that administration is known as Ramarajyam, Ramachandra's administration. No illness, no diseases, people were not getting old. Everyone felt extreme happiness and no anxieties in this world. Ramchandra's administration is specifically referred to this, that people had no anxiety in life. Where is that kind of government today, where there is no anxiety for the people? In fact, government itself becomes the anxiety for the people. That is the modern lifestyle. Government is the biggest anxiety. So, but Ramchandra's administration was such that Ramarajyam refers to this. That is why even after millions and millions of years, those who have read Ramayanam and understood the administration of Ramachandra, they can understand what that meant, what Ramachandra meant, what that administration meant. That may not come back, but still, the memories of Ramachandra through Ramarajyam is still very much there in those who worship Ramachandra and read Ramayanam. So, after the Ramarajyam, this was going on for some time. It was then that one day, this issue came up. Some demigods came to see Sita Devi, and they told Sita Devi that it is time now to come back to the spiritual world, because most of the purpose of the descending to this earthly planet has now been fulfilled. Ramchandra's mission is almost complete, and Sita Devi's mission is also complete. She could now come back to the spiritual world. That is how it is, that when these great incarnations of Krishna, when they come here, when Krishna also was here, when the time was over, their pastimes are the purpose for which they were invited by Lord Brahma and all the other great demigods. When the purpose is finished, they go and remind them that the purpose is now finished. If they wish, they could return back to the spiritual world. In Krishna's case also, you can see the same thing. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and so many other great demigods came to see Krishna. Sharachadavediyoyam panjavimshadigam prabhom. That is how Brahma presented to Krishna about, he put it in a nice way, saying to him that you are now, you can't say to Krishna like that, now you can go back, can you? can't say like that. So Brahma was very careful after what he had experienced before with Krishna in the Vrindavan. That was enough, a good lesson to learn. So this time Brahma was very cautious when he presented to Krishna about his returning back to the spiritual world. Sharat Chadavediyoyam Panjavimshadiyam Prabho. Krishna, Brahma says to Krishna that up to now, 125 years of your earthly pastimes are now complete. That is how he put it. In other words, he was hinting to Krishna that if you so desire, you may go back to the spiritual world. So similarly, these demigods came and spoke to Sita Devi the same way. Sita Devi mentioned this one day to Ramachandra. And Ramachandra said to Sita Devi, but now I have to organize, engineer the whole thing of going back process. Just like they came from the spiritual world with certain mission to fulfill here. Now that the mission is completed, the going back also has to be appropriate way, because they have accepted a human form of human body here, human form of body. In other words, they were playing their part in this world to teach the human population living in this world that once you come to this planet, into this material world as in the human form, you have to, no matter who you are, you have to accept the bitterness or the miseries or distress of this world. There's no point in complaining about it. That is simply the message. Why Ramachandra is saying that is that human tendency is trying to become happy here, somehow adjusting this, adjusting that, so many things people try to adjust. But in this domain, in this material world, which is a domain of Maya, Maya's control is so strong here that if you try to plug one hole, the other hole will start leaking. This is how it is, that to find proper happiness in this material world, Ramachandra wanted to tell the human population that it is wasting time, that rather one should use his energy in this lifetime to advance on the spiritual path and go back home, never to return again. This was the message from Ramachandra. So Ramachandra was trying to say, to create this understanding, he had to go through all these different pastimes. And at the same time, he wanted to show, he told Sita Devi that the plan I have in my mind is that soon you will hear some things spoken about me. And that will be a spill-off from what happened for your staying with Ravana. And that will happen, be spoken by my own people here in this Ayodhya. And with the result will be that I'll have to leave you then. And then you can go back to the spiritual world after that. So this is how it was planned before between Sita Devi and Ramachandra. So one day, as expected, person came to sell paintings to the palace. And he brought a lot of nice paintings to the palace. And while looking at the paintings, there were so many scenes from the forest, what he has painted nicely. And Sita Devi was looking through these paintings. When Ramachandra asked Sita Devi if she had any more desire enjoy in this world anything, if she so desire, she should mention that now. And remember that she was also pregnant at that time. And she was in advanced state of pregnancy. That Sita Devi said to Ramachandra that I have only one desire. When I see all these different photos that's been brought in, all these different paintings, I still sometimes think the days when we started our life in the forest for 14 years, the day when we walked out from the palace with Lakshmana, when three of us went away to the forest, and she was remembering that and mentioned that to Ramachandra. Ramachandra said to Sita Devi, that's no problem, we can arrange that. So it was then one day that during Ramachandra's time, so many people used to visit him and mention to Ramachandra about the people's happiness, how they were experiencing happiness in Ramachandra's administration. And there were so many Brahmanas who reported regularly to Ramachandra about the people's consciousness. Ramachandra was very concerned about his people, and he was such a serious personality that the Brahmanas were very prompt and punctual in reporting the proper precisely to Ramachandra what was going on in the kingdom. It was then that a person named Vijaya came and reported to Ramachandra that he heard a fight happening between a husband and a wife, and they were referring to Ramachandra in the fight. Ramachandra asked him what it was, and he said to Ramachandra that this wife of Rajaga, who was a washerman, she went away and stayed with her parents for quite some time. And when she came back, he got so upset with her husband. And she told him that Sita Devi has gone and stayed 12 months away from Ramachandra. And when she came back, Ramachandra did not make such a big fuss about it. What are you talking about it so much? So Rajaga says to his wife that I am not like Ramachandra, who will accept somebody like that. It's me, I am much more religious and more principled than Ramachandra was. This was his answer to her. And this was heard by Vijaya, who reported this to Ramachandra. So Ramachandra realized that this is the way now for Sita Devi to return to the spiritual world. So one day he called Lakshmana and told him 2 days it took a couple of days for Ramachandra to make up his mind what to do, but ultimately he decided. He called Lakshmana and he told Lakshmana that Sita Devi wants to see all these places in the forest where we have been to, and only thing is, after it's over, you show her everything, but leave her and come back. He said to Lakshmana. Lakshmana did not know what to say. Lakshmana's heart started. It was so painful for Lakshmana to hear these instructions from Ramachandra. For some time, Lakshmana won't accept it. Lakshmana said, there is no question of me doing that. And eventually, Ramachandra put so much pressure on Lakshmana that if you don't listen, it is just like killing me, he said to Lakshmana. So Lakshmana decided to do it, but you have to read Ramayana to get experience that travel for Sita Devi and Lakshmana in the chariot to the forest. Whole of the journey, Lakshmana looked very miserable, very much in distress. And sometimes tears were coming from Lakshmana's eyes. Whereas Sita Devi was looking at all the scenes nicely and enjoying it. So at one point, Sita Devi saw Lakshmana crying. And Sita Devi could not understand that why Lakshmana is crying now, when it should be a happy time that she was enjoying visiting all these old places. And Lakshmana could not answer it. And more it was breaking his heart. First of all, he considered Sita Devi, according to Sumitra's instructions, as what? As his own mother. That was the relationship Lakshmana had with Sita Devi. That Mam Vidhi Janagalpajam. If you remember in the beginning of Ramayana, the famous words in Ramayana, Ramam Dasharadam Vidhi, Mam Vidhi Janagalpajam, Ayodhya Madavim Vidhi, Gachatatayatha Sukham. That in the beginning, when they started the journey, Sumitra Devi, Lakshmana's mother, instructed Lakshmana like this: think about Ramachandra as Dasharada, think about Sita Devi as me. Mam Vidhi Janagalpajam Ayodhya Madavim Vidhi. Think about the forest as Ayodhya. Gachada Adayatha Sukham. Happily continue your journey and finish this 14 years. That is how Sumitra Devi instructed Lakshmana. So Lakshmana had this 14 years looked after Sita Devi and Ramachandra. And he had such a lot of respect for Sita Devi, her strength of mind and her attachment to Ramachandra and that chastity. Sita Devi every day paid obeisances to Lakshmana paid obeisances to Sita Devi and Ramachandra in the forest when they were all together. So Lakshmana was thinking about all that, and it was disturbing him so much. So when they reached eventually at the ashramam of Valmiki, Lakshmana thought, at least I'll leave her here, closer to Valmiki's ashram. Maybe that Valmiki may come to know about this, because he did not have the courage to go and tell Valmini what has happened. So he did not know anything. So he decided to leave Sita Devi there. When Sita Devi came out of the chariot, Lakshmana went and paid his obeisances. Sita Devi could not understand why he was paying his obeisances to her now in the forest. And he started crying at that time. Lakshmana could not say one word. He started saying to Sita Devi what happened and what Ramachandra has instructed. Sita Devi, you have to remember that Sita Devi was pregnant in a very advanced state of pregnancy. And to leave Sita Devi in that condition in the forest, unattended by anyone, the princess from Mithila, from Janaka Maharaj's daughter, who has not experienced this in the palace. But if you remember, the first day when they started the journey, in the front there was Ramachandra, in the middle it was Sita, and behind that was Lakshmana. That is how they were walking in the forest. So although Sita Devi showed a lot of courage in the beginning to go, later on, after a few hours of walking, she started feeling very much difficulty in going further. So she started asking Ramachandra, when are we going to stop now? The first day itself this happened. And Ramachandra felt very bad because he was thinking, he's preparing for 14 years, a life like this. And the first day itself, Sita Devi is asking, where can we stop now? But can we stop now and have some rest or have some food to eat? So you can see that difficulty Ramachandra had with Sita Devi in the forest all the way through. So although she had experienced all this and came back to Ayodhya, and in Ayodhya her life after she came back, because of the life she had went through in Ravana's custody in Lanka, and also all the way to the in the forest, Sita Devi became very, very austere when she came back. So you will see, Sri Shukan says in the Bhagavatam, what does she say about him, about Sita Devi? Sita Devi and Ramachandra, when they came back to Ayodhya after coming back from Lanka, the only thing they were doing was giving everything in charity. Charity, charity all the time. All the Brahmanas were given so much in charity that eventually Sita Devi only had the chain in her neck, which was done at the time of wedding. Saumangalya Vasheshida. Saumangalya Vasheshida. That is Saumangali. Sumangali means the women when they are married, when they have the Mangala Sutram, or the marriage, at the time of marriage, what is tied on her neck, that was the only jewelry what she had. Everything else was given in charity to different people. So that Sita Devi now in the forest, like in this condition, Lakshmana could not say one word anymore, and he in a total distressed mood he came back from there. And when he came back to the palace, leaving Sita Devi there, when he came back to the palace, Ramachandra even did not ask him where he left her. This was Ramachandra's decision. He did not even mention to Lakshmana, where did you leave Sita Devi? What is, no, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So Lakshmana decided that day one thing. Lakshmana said to Ramachandra, my dear brother, you are very kind to me, but I have one request, he said. At least in the future, don't put me in this situation that I have to take all the time your instructions. Then give me a chance that I can say something to you also in return. Because this is a very difficult situation, what I had to do today. Ramachandra appreciated that honesty and told him that next time when I come, you be my elder brother then, so that we don't have this problem. Now you can tell me what you want, but you will see next time also, Krishna had asked Balaram many, many things, but never did anything what he said. He did what he wanted to do. This is Krishna. See the difference? That he said to Lakshmana, just to keep you happy, I'll make you as my elder brother. Come as Balaram. But, and he did come as Balaram. And Balaram, such a straightforward person. When Subhadra was married, in so many instances, when Duryodhana was preparing for the war, Balaram was instructing to Krishna, oh no, we can't have a war with Duryodhana, he's my disciple. He is my such a good student. I've taught him everything. That's very nice, he said. Krishna says to him. Same thing at the same time when Subhadra was to be married. Balaram arranges the marriage of Subhadra to Duryodhana. And what happens then? Arjuna gets married to Subhadra later. So you can see this Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he has his plan. But he adjusts things according to the circumstances when he wanted in that way. Anyway, at least this time, Lakshmana said, I don't have to go through this anymore. This what you have made me to do today is something I can't bear with it anymore. So fortunately, Valmiki Maharshi came to know about this Sita Devi through the other inmates of the ashram. They decided to bring her in and they looked after Sita Devi. This is how in the Uttara Ramayanam, how Sita Devi was abandoned. One of the finest part of the Ramayanam, but at the same time, very, very disturbing for a devotee who reads this, that he gets upset. Those who are fallen in love with Ramachandra and Sita Devi. Precisely this is the reason Valmiki did not agree to go back to the spiritual world. When everybody else went back to the spiritual world, Ramachandra invited Valmiki to come along with him. Valmiki said, no, I will not go back till I see you together again. And Ramachandra said to Valmiki, that may not happen in this lifetime. You may have to wait a very long time. And Valmiki did. And Valmiki got that opportunity to bring Rukmini and Krishna together. In other words, Ramachandra and Sita Devi, which is Krishna and Rukmini now, in the Dwapara Yugam, they were brought together by Valmiki in the form of that Brahmana who took the message from Rukmini to Krishna. So you can see, for so many years, Valmiki had to wait, and he did wait. And what Krishna has promised to Valmiki, he kept his word also. So this incident happened, and then in the Ramayanam, what is known as Ramagita. Ramagita is the instructions by Lord Shiva, talking about Lord Ramachandra's glory. It is some of the finest instructions in Ramayanam, Ramachandra's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and at the same time, Ramachandra's spiritual nature, living entities, material nature, our relationship with Ramachandra, so many things discussed in a long chapter, in beautiful verses by Lord Shiva with Sri Parvati. So that is known as Ramagita. Ramagita comes in after that. And it was then that in the Uttara Ramayanam, the incidents of Ramachandra's winding up different things. Now Ramachandra was decided to go back. So one after the other, he wanted to clear everything. And one day, he got the news that in modern Mathura, which was known as at that time, Madhupuri, and which became Mathura later, that in this Madhuvanam, which is Madhuvanam originally, that is where many of the great, great personalities have performed their penances. For example, you will see Dhruva Maharaj in Bhagavadam, he performed penances in Madhuvanam. Ambarisha Maharaj, he performed penances in Madhuvanam. So this Madhuvanam is such a important place that there was a demon who appeared there known as Lavanasura. And this Lavanasura became such a problem for the sages who were living around. They complained to Ramachandra about him. So Ramachandra told them that we'll find a way for that. Or we have to wait for some time. So he discussed this matter with Lakshmana, Bharata and Shatrughna. Now, at that time, Lakshmana has helped Ramachandra in killing Indrajit. And also 14 years he has supported Ramachandra. So Shatrughna mentioned this to Ramachandra, that Lakshmana had done something in this pastimes, whereas I haven't had an opportunity for anything. At least King Bharata Maharaj looked after the kingdom when you were away. And this 14 years he performed such austerities to please you, that after all, who are these poor personalities? Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna, Iti Samyaya. The Supreme Absolute Truth has taken these four forms and came here. So they were saying to Ramachandra, especially Shatrughna mentioned to Ramachandra, that he should be given some opportunity to do some service. And that is how Shatrughna was given this responsibility to go and kill Lavanasura. Ramachandra took out an arrow and handed over to Shatrughna and told him that he has got, this Lavanasura had a powerful weapon given to him by Lord Shiva, by placing Lord Shiva. And when he has that weapon, it's very difficult to kill him. But sometimes in the morning he goes out to kill, eat the sages. That was his food. He'll go out. That time you should wait outside and shoot this arrow against him and kill him. This is how Ramchandra instructed Shatrughna to kill Lavanasura. So Shatrughna killed Lavanasura. Lakshmana it was then that they decided to perform a big Ashwamedha sacrifice. So in that Ashwamedha sacrifice was happening, that by now these two boys which were Sridhadevi had by now, Lava and Kusha, they were growing up in Valmiki's ashram. Valmiki brought them up. Not only he brought them up, he performed all the purificatory processes to make them a first-class devotees. And that was the success of Valmiki. Being association of Valmiki means what? That you become extremely great devotees like Valmiki has. So Valmiki trained them up so nicely. Not only that, he taught them Ramayanam, the story of Ramayanam. Not only he taught them, he made them, trained them to sing Ramayanam properly. It says there, when Lava and Kusha sings Ramayanam, Suswara Akshara Suspashtam Nadashudhi Manoharam. That is so beautiful they sang Ramayanam, that anyone who heard Ramayanam from Lava and Kusha, they were automatically felt ecstasy of Ramachandra and Sita Devi by hearing from Lava and Kusha. They were so experts in singing. Every letter was spoken so nicely. Suswara Akshara Suspashtam Nadashudhi Manoharam. And in such a musical melody that it was so pleasing to the ears that they are glorified for this. So one day Valmiki told Lava and Kusha that you should go to Ayodhya now and travel around in the town and start singing Ramayanam everywhere. So according to Valmiki's instruction, they came to Ayodhya and they were walking around singing Ramayanam everywhere. But by their attraction, bodily features also, two young, nice-looking brahmacharis, they were moving around, singing Ramayanam in a nice way, that people were interested to hear that. And soon, this news spread and reached the palace also. Ramchandra came to know about it. So Ramchandra immediately decided that we should bring these singers to the palace. So he gave instructions to bring the singers to the palace. Lava and Kusha were brought to the palace. And they told Lava and Kusha to sing this story of Ramayanam. So Lava and Kusha sang so nicely. Then the end of that, while Ramachandra decided that he should present them with something substantial. So he decided to give them some thousands of gold coins as a present to these two boys. And Lava and Kusha straight away said, no, we don't accept these things, he said. Our teacher has strictly instructed us not to accept anything. This was a very clear-cut answer from Lava and Kusha. Ramchandra understood that Valmiki has trained them up in a proper way, not to make it spiritual life as for collecting money. So Lava and Kusha showed this to Ramchandra. And then it was then that Ramchandra said to the Brahmanas who were present there to bring their teacher here. So they sent a message to Valmiki to come to the palace. But Valmiki said, I can only come under one condition, if Ramachandra will accept Sita Devi back to the palace again. So it was difficult for Ramachandra to make a decision. Anyway, ultimately Valmiki came, and in that Ashwamedha sacrifice, Valmiki spoke about so many things very strongly, about the decision by Ramachandra to leave Sita Devi like that. He mentioned that unless Sita Devi is taken back and her purity, which he said that he will give, he had a complete confidence that Sita Devi has never been touched by Ramchandra. And in addition to that, he also mentioned as a last word that if Sita Devi is not pure as she was charged by this Rajaga or this washerman who was charged, let all my power of austerities and penances, let me lose as the last thing he spoke. He spoke so strongly in that meeting in Ayodhya that eventually Ramachandra discussed with all the other sages and decided to accept Sita Devi back again. But The different the decision happened in a different way. Sita Devi came to the palace. And then what did she do? Sri Shukan says in the Bhagavatam about this. Munaya Nikshipyatanayo. Both the children, Leva and Kusha, she called them. And she told Leva and Kusha that and Valmiki, she called Valmiki also and told Valmiki, look after my children. Munaya Nikshipyatanayo. Sita Bhartra Vivasidaha. That Sita Devi was planning her exit from this world. Ramachandra understood. Valmiki also understood that something is going to happen now. Munayo Nikshipyatanayo Sita Bhartra Vivasidam Dhyayade Ramacharano. Simply remembering about Lord Ramchandra's lotus feet. Sita Devi decided to vivaram pravivesha, then she decided to leave this world. As soon as she made up her mind, Bhumi Devi came with a asanam for a throne for her to sit, and she installed Sita Devi on that throne, took her, and the earth split and they disappeared from there. And that was how Sita Devi left this planet. So after that, in Ramayanam, what we find is that at one point, Ramchandra also had to give up Lakshmana. That Lakshmana's departure from this world, that is the next topic in the Uttara Ramayanam, prior to coming to the going back to spiritual world. So Lakshmana, one day, Durvasa Muni came to see Ramchandra. And Durvasa Muni wanted to see Ramchandra badly, but at the same time, Ramchandra was in a meeting with Yama. And prior to the meeting, Ramchandra has instructed Lakshmana that if anyone comes, you should not let them in because I'm in a top serious discussion. And if anybody walks in, your head will go. And this was the instruction to Lakshmana. And as usual, exactly at the same time, Durvasa Muni comes in. Durvasa came in and Durvasa walked in and he wanted to see Ramchandra immediately. So Lakshmana says to Durvasa Muni that if at this time, if you want to go in, Lakshmana knew that the result, what it could be from Durvasa Muni, what he could expect. So he said to Durvasa Muni that he has been strictly instructed by Ramchandra not to let anybody in. Durvasa Muni said, if not, I will just burn the whole place, he said. So Lakshmana, out of fear from Durvasa Muni's curse, went in and to announce the arrival of Durvasa Muni. So by now, Ramchandra sent Yama away and received Durvasa Muni in. And they had a conversation. Durvasa Muni was very pleased. All he wanted to have a feast with Ramchandra. After all these sages knew that soon Ramchandra will be going back. In Krishna's case also, the same thing happens. At different times, different sages come. They glorify Krishna and they thank him for their Krishna's mercy, for allowing them to perform austerities and penances without being hindered by the demonic forces. So here what has happened was that that Ramachandra, after Durvasa Muni left, called Lakshmana and told him that he has to be thrown away from there. And he said equally that if you expel somebody from your kingdom, it is as much as killing. So he has to implement that. His words were so powerful that this is the power of these great persons, that they don't change their words. When they give a word, they hold on to it. Whereas in the modern politics, what did you see? You can say anything you want and tomorrow you can take a different position. So much lying and cheating goes on in the so-called modern administrations. Whereas compared to, you can see in Ramayanam, even to the finest extent, Ramachandra always maintained that seriousness of whatever he has spoken. He maintained that truthfulness in his words. So eventually Lakshmana was also abandoned. Now who is left? Ramchandra is left. And only the members of the family in Ayodhya. And then there is an instructions to Kausalya Devi and about spiritual life, sent her back to spiritual world. And later on we find that Kaikeyi and Sumitra did not go back to spiritual world. They went to the heavenly planets and from there later on back to spiritual world. But after all this, what is known as the final situation with Ramachandra of going back to the spiritual world. So he made the announcement in Ayodhya that all of them should come with him to bathe in Sarayu river one day. And Ramachandra has planned in such a way this departure from this world of all the, his subjects, that it was done in this way, that they will, when they all reach the Sarayu river, Ramachandra told everybody to immerse in the water. Everybody had to immerse in the water, and they were never seen again after that. And this included many of the great personalities who fought in the battle in Lanka, in while killing Ravana. All these great personalities were with Ramachandra at that time when they went to Sarayu river. But there was one person who was a little different, and he paid a very heavy price for it. And that person, you will see, come back again here. He had to stay back. And eventually, he was so unfortunate that instead of going back with Ramachandra back to the spiritual world, that mentality of that person caused the problem. In fact, this is all our problems also. It is the same. It's not much different. That we have great difficulty in accepting the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The result was that when everyone else was going in the water, he was looking, is everybody else going in the water or not? This is what he did. He did not do it because why? He felt that, oh, after all, where are they going? What is there so much? I'm happy here. Why should I worry? This was his attitude. Like all of us, we are also happy here, isn't it? So, Dvivida, that was his name, Dvivida decided that I'm not going back. They can all go now, he said. And he did not go into the water. The result was that everybody else went. And then, after they all left, he realized what a mistake he has done. He realized the foolishness. So then he jumped into the water. Then what happens? He came back again. That's all. Nothing happened to him. You see, when these great personalities, when they leave this world, if you can leave your body along with them, there is a possibility of going back to the spiritual world. This you can see in the fifth canto. When Maharaj Rishabhadev, when he gave up his body in the Kutaka mountains, if you see when he came, when he took his form of a wandering mendicant, and he came to the forest, and he was walking around in a fully realized state of mind, no connection with the material body. He was waiting for the body to drop off. So in that time, he entered into, at one point, it became so difficult for him. Why? Because automatically all the mystic powers have started coming and started serving him. And he didn't want that. Why? Because at the time, in that state of spiritual realization, mystic powers are an impediment for anyone. In the Bhagavatam, you can mention them. It's mentioned very specifically. Krishna says that these mystic powers also can become an impediment in going back to the spiritual world. And that is what has happened to Vrishabhadev. Vrishabhadev understood that. Tulsam braptau vilambavaham akhilamidam nadriye kamayeham Swami Vananda Purnam Paramapavana Pavanavarabade Pahimam Sarvarogal Tulsam Raptau Vilambavahamakhilamidam. All these mystic powers are only there to delay your going back to the spiritual world. That is how it was mentioned by the devotee. Krishna mentions that also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that mystic powers are sometimes a great attraction in this world. Some of those mystic powers, if you talk about that, or you can talk about hours and hours. And you think about those mystic hours, and if you start thinking, oh, if I could have all those mystic powers, how nice it would be. And it's so easily captivating. But Krishna says, Tulsam braptau vilambavaham akhilamidam nadriye kamayeham. These mystic powers will become a problem for you if you are thinking of going back to the spiritual world. And that's exactly what happened in Rishabhadev's case also. So all the Aishwarya Siddhis, Ashta Aishwarya Siddhis, they personified form, they started coming to serve him. And he was lying down in the forest, and he is completely out of the material body, in the sense that body is finished. He wanted to hand over the body to the forest fire and then leave. It was then that they come. And they came and they stood around him. So he sensed that there is some motive behind it. So he asked them, "Who are you?" They said to him that, "We are the 8 opulences personified. What's your name?" One said, "My name is Anima." Another one said, "Mahima." A third one said, "Legima." Fourth one said, "Garima." So Anima, Mahima, Legima, Garima, Ma, Ma, Ma. Like this was, so many names came out. So Rishabhadev asked them, "What do you want?" They said, "Oh, we have come to serve you." You know what Rishabhadev answered? Shivadev told them, "I don't need your service. Leave this place right away, otherwise I will finish you up here, right now," he said. But still, although they left the scene immediately, what did they do? They left a fine smell around his body. Normally, if you burn a body, what happens? It's a smell which you cannot tolerate. But here, Rishabhadev's body was burning in the fire, and the smell was so fine that more and more living entities were coming, and they were dying in that forest fire, and they also got the opportunity to leave the body along with Rishabhadev. They all went back to the spiritual world. When Sukadev Goswami mentioned this to Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj says, "How unfortunate I am. Here I am, a dead snake, put it on the throat of a sage, and I am sitting here waiting for my next turn. What is going to happen to me?" And then it was then that Sukadev Goswami said to Parikshit, "Don't worry about it, that you have 7 days' time, you will hear about Krishna." This is in the fourth canto, all this is discussed. Muktim dadahi karhijalsmana bhakti yogam. That he told Parikshit that Krishna offers liberation very easily. So many opportunities people get to go back to the spiritual world with Krishna or one of the incarnations like this. But while giving liberation, Krishna doesn't think too much. After all, once you give him liberation, he's finished. He goes back to the spiritual world. Muktim dadahi karhijalsmana bhakti yogam. But bhakti, before he gives, Krishna thinks a lot. Not that Krishna cannot handle it, but the difficulty Krishna is thinking, is the person qualified enough to have devotion? Only after that Krishna gives devotion to any devotee. So like this in the Bhagavatam, all these things are discussed in detail. And what we find here is that Ramachandra has gone back to the spiritual world. And then with that, the story of Ramayanam finishes. So what is the conclusion now? We heard so many Sundays in a very condensed form of this great literature, Ramayanam. So Sri Shugan in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to this particular Ramayanam story, has made some serious comments. What happens with this? What is the influence of Ramayanam on anyone? And what will happen if you study Ramayanam seriously? He has analyzed all these things and made some very interesting remarks before he moves on to the story of Lavakusha and the further the solar dynasty. So what he did was, he not forgotten to mention that in this Ramayanam, while referring to Ramachandra, he mentions this. Yasyamalam nirbasadasu yashodhunabi gayandi agagnamidam digibendra vattam tam nagabalam vasupala kirida jushtam padambujam rekhupadim sharanam prabadye. That he mentions there that the great kings glorify Ramachandra for his administration. Why? Yasyamalam nirbasadasu yashodhunanam. That Ramachandra's glories are such that even great personalities glorify Ramachandra for his achievements, not only killing Rakshasas, but that strict adherence to religious principles and truthfulness. యశోధునానం అశోధునాభి గాయంది అఖగ్న మృషయో దిగిభేంద్రవట్టం. దట్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ దాట్ దిస్ స్టోరీ ఆఫ్ రామచంద్ర ఇస్ సచ్ వెన్ వన్ హియర్స్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ రామచంద్ర స్టోరీ రిమూవ్స్ ఆల్ వన్స్ సిన్ఫుల్ రియాక్షన్స్ ఇన్ ప్యూరిఫైస్ అ పర్సన్ ద రిజల్ట్ వాస్ తం నాగబాల వసుబాల కిరీటయుష్టం పాదాంబుజం రఘుపతిం శరణం ప్రపద్యేం. That Ramachandra is worshipped by in the heavenly planets and Vasus, everyone worships Lord Ramachandra because of this purificatory effect of studying about Ramachandra. Yasya amalam nrubasadasu yashodhunavi ghayandi akhagnam rishabam dhigibendra vattam tam nagabala vasubala kiridajushtam padam bujam reghubadim sharanam prabadyem. So Sri Shugan has given this conclusion of the result of studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is one thing. What else? There is more. He says, if one studies Ramayanam and this story of Ramayanam, what is the benefit? What does one gain from this? Purushasya Ramacharitam Shravanai Ubhadarayan Amrashamsa Parovirajan Karmabandhal Vimuchyadeyam. That is what he has concluded there. Purushasya Ramacharitam, if one study, hear about Ramachandra constantly in life, constantly hearing about Ramachandra, and one relishes Ramayanam, like the way it is explained there, about all these different instructions Ramachandra has given, and one become attached to Ramachandra's lotus feet and Sidadevi's lotus feet. Purushasya Ramacharitam Shravanai Upadharayam, if one hears that, and constantly meditate on these pastimes of Ramachandra, what will happen? Anrashamsa Bharo Rajan, my dear king, that is enough for what? Karma Bandhal Vimuchyadeyam, that he is finished with Karma Bandhanam. Karma Bandhanam, what, first of all, we have to understand what does Karma Bandhanam means. Karma Bandhanam means all of us are in this world only because of Karma Bandhanam. Karma means that has brought us here. And why we are stuck here in this condition in this world? Because of karma bandhanam. It is the shastric word is karma bandhanam. Karma bandhanam is nothing but our karmic reactions, what we are experiencing life after life, and non-stopping activities of karma, what we create for next life, and again take another body, come here, go through that, again more karma, more bodies. Like this is endless cycle of birth and death. This is called karma bandhanam. So if one hear about Ramachandra, Sukadeva Goswami says here that if he is intelligent and if he studies Ramachandra, that is enough. Because from that alone, Purushasya Ramacharitam Shravanai Rupadharayan Anrashamsa Bharo Rajan Karma Bandhal Vimuchyadeyam. He can free himself from the effect of from this karma bandhanam, he can free oneself. In other words, the power of purification of Ramachandra's story is so powerful. After all, like Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayanam is so powerful that when one understands Lord Ramachandra's pastimes and become a devotee of Lord Ramachandra, like Hanuman, Lord Shiva and Valmiki, one can wipe off his karma bandhanam from easily with Ramayanam. So, Sukadeva Goswami, Sri Shugan has given this benediction also to Ramayanam. And with that, we finish Ramayanam here. So, now we have few more interesting topics in the ninth canto. Particularly, now Sri Shugan has more or less understood that he has to start Krishna stories now, the tenth canto. So still, prior to that, there are the whole lunar dynasty he has to cover in the ninth canto. We are still talking about solar dynasty. And now from this, you will see how the lunar dynasty came about from there. And the whole the history of the lunar dynasty, right up to the Dhritarashtra and Pandu, all those kings, that is how we are taken up to in the ninth canto. So there is also more interesting things in the ninth canto, that so many different kings you will find names mentioned in the different chapters. And if you have to go through all those different kings and their histories, this ninth canto is a very summarized form of their administration, and only important names are mentioned, and only very important activities also mentioned very briefly. That you can see in the ninth canto from now on. Continuously, one name after the other, you will find his son was this, son's son was his, and his son was this. Like this, it goes on, one after the other. The reason being that Sri Yukta and Sukadeva Goswami was hurrying up to get to the tenth canto. That you will see from now on to the end of ninth canto. And it is the ninth canto. We also talk about some interesting topics like Ayadi, King Ayadi story, Sharmishtha and Devayani, Shukracharya, that story. And also, we have to discuss how the Ilavrata Varsham happened, where Lord Shiva had, when one entered there, becomes a woman automatically. All those things are mentioned in the ninth canto. And at the end of ninth canto, Sukadeva Goswami tried to finish Bhagavatam there itself, knowing very well that there wasn't much time. And then there is a questioning from Parikshit Maharaj and his disappointment of not hearing Krishna in depth. And that is how the tenth canto begins. So we'll continue with ninth canto next Sunday and try to finish ninth canto in 5 or 6 classes. And then we'll move on to 10th canto. So, yeah. I was just wondering if we could start Bhagavatam at 4 o'clock and 4 to 7, whether that is practical for everybody, because there is so much to discuss on the 10th canto. And some of those pastimes, Krishna's pastimes at the in Vrindavanam, they take a longer time. And generally, it's very difficult to finish in an hour or hour and a half. So, if it is possible, we will start maybe not next Sunday, because next Sunday is our Gopurnima. And after that, the Sunday after that, we'd like to start the class at 4 and finish at 7. So, we get enough time to discuss the Bhagavatam and continue from there and see how it goes. So, if there's any questions, please.
Thank you for your nice class.
Hare Krishna.
These ministers, at this time, they are demoniac because they always lie. Can we kill them? They're suspicious.
See, killing a person is not going to solve the problem. The mentality has to be killed. If you kill him, what will happen to you? You will be in the prison tomorrow. So that is not a right way to go. The right way to go is to preach Krishna consciousness so people understand. And little by little, this tamogunam is the cause of all the problems. That from tamogunam, different mentality comes. Like Kumbhakarna and Ravana, that if they are killed by Ramachandra, it's not bad because they went back to spiritual world again. But if you or me started killing people, both of us will be in the jail. So that's not the solution to the problem. Solution is to preach Krishna consciousness strongly to people. So one day, by association with devotees and by the potency of the words of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, things will change. It is not that that these lower modes of nature are present in everyone, even in us also, and it manifests sometimes in its own way. So unless we escape from the lower modes of nature, it is difficult to bring others out of the lower modes of nature. First of all, we have to become pure also in our own way. Then you can see the effect, what happens on others. All go. Hanuman said to Ramachandra that Sridharadevi and yourself are in me inside. As long as I can chant Ramachandra's name, he is the greatest singer of the kirtan of Lord Ramachandra's name. He was given this special position in Ilavrata Varsham, where he worship glorifies Ramachandra through kirtanam. by singing Ramchandra's glories. But for him to go to the spiritual world, there was no need to do anything anymore in this life, because such was his position spiritually, like Lord Shiva, like Valmiki. They all have this special position as Ramchandra's greatest devotees, that at no time they need any permission or anything. They can be, they are with Ramchandra all the time by their consciousness. And in the fifth canto, I think it's mentioned there, when Sukadeva Goswami is taking us around the creation on this, in this world, at one point when he comes to Kimpurusha Varsham, he says there, Lord Ramchandra is glorified here. By whom? By Hanuman. Anjaneya Swami is glorifying Ramchandra here. So you can see there that their position is unlike us. If we have an opportunity like that, we should catch all of it straight away. But Hanuman doesn't have to do that. He is beyond that. Okay, all glory to Srila Prabhupada.